Here, I'm going to go ahead and call this. Thank you all for being here. I will call this session of the Kitsap County Hearing Examiner to order. For the record, today is January 12, 2023 at 9 a.m. We have four items on the agenda today. Numbers 21-03285, 22-01784, 22-01947, and 22-02631. Each of these is a request for approval of a conditional use permit application to construct an accessory dwelling unit. My name is Alex Seidels. I'm the hearing examiner with Sound Law Center, whom the county has selected to hold certain land use hearings, such as this one. It will be my role today to collect evidence in the form of exhibits and testimony to determine whether the proposals comply with the county comprehensive plan, zoning ordinances, and critical areas ordinances. To that end, I have received and reviewed the staff reports and exhibits for each of these CUP applications. The exhibits are numbered and summarized in the staff report for each of these CUPs, and I will retain those exhibit numbers in my decisions for each of these CUPs. So at this time, I will admit these staff exhibits into the record for each of these cases. Should anyone have additional exhibits they would like admitted into the record, please let me know when it is your opportunity to testify. I will go ahead and address admitting additional exhibits at that time. For each of these four cases, the record for that case will be a standalone universe. So just because something is admitted for one case does not mean that it is admitted for all four cases. And the same goes for testimony as well. Just because something has been testified to in one case does not mean that it applies to all four cases. So we have to treat each of these cases as if it was the only thing on the agenda this morning. So speaking of testimony, all testimony today will be under oath or affirmation. Because were my decision to be appealed, the record of today's hearing, along with the admitted exhibits and my written decision, would serve as the foundation for any such appeal. The record for each of these cases, as I said, will be unique to that case on appeal as well. I may ask questions of those that are testifying. I'm not trying to trip anyone up. I am trying to ensure I have a clear understanding of the proposal so that after the record closes, I'm able to produce decisions that are hopefully clear and legally defensible. So the order that we typically follow, and I think we'll be following today, is for each application, we will first hear from county staff, who will provide an overview of the proposal along with any recommendations that the county may have. After that, we'll hear from the applicant to see if there's any additional information that they think myself or members of the public should be aware of. After that, members of the public will have an opportunity to testify. And finally, after public testimony, we'll turn back to the applicant and the county if necessary for any response. This meeting is being held using a hybrid of in-person participants and remote meeting technology. We'll treat it as if we are all in the room together. So that means we cannot have people talking over one another. Everyone who's on a computer will remain muted until called upon to speak. Everyone wishing to testify will have an opportunity, but just like if we were all in the room together, this will not involve interruptions or question and answer sessions or multiple speaking opportunities for members of the public. So with that, I think we can get started. Ms. Walston, do we have a particular order that the county will be going in, or numerical order, or how would you like to proceed?
So the agenda that we've got tentatively set would be to hear Bodoni first. And second, we would hear Thomas. Third would be, we'll do Lideau and then Vogue.
That works for me. All right, let's go ahead and get started with Bodoni. This is case 22-02631. And who will be appearing on behalf of the county?
That would be myself, Carla Lundgren.
Thank you, Ms. Lundgren. Let's go ahead and get you sworn in. Could you raise your right hand if you can? Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you give here today will be the truth?
Yes.
Thank you so much. And can you state and spell your name for the audio recording, please?
Yes. My name is Carla Lundgren, C-A-R-L-A-L-U-N-D-G-R-E-N.
Okay. And can you describe your role at the county?
I am a planner with the Department of Community Development.
Okay. And do you have any additional exhibits that you'll be entering today on the Bodoni matter?
No.
Okay. Well, why don't you go ahead with your presentation? And at the end, I may have some questions for you.
Okay. Good morning. Today I'm presenting a conditional use permit for an accessory dwelling unit in a rural residential zone. Okay. Amanda's pulling up the presentation, so just one moment.
Is this like a PowerPoint presentation?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Should we make this an exhibit?
It will be made as an exhibit.
Okay, excellent.
Yeah, this is exhibit 16. And sorry, just one second here.
All right. And before we get started, I have Exhibit 16 as a placeholder in my file. I don't have a copy of the PowerPoint itself. So if you can forward that to me afterwards, that would be helpful.
Okay. Ready? Perfect. All right. So second slide, please. The applicant proposes to construct an 876 square foot detached dwelling unit or accessory dwelling unit, excuse me. The property currently has a 2,093 square foot primary residence with a 759 square foot attached garage. The application was deemed complete on July 26, 2022. A notice of application was distributed pursuant to Title 21 Land Use and Development Procedures, which provided recipients with a project information and an opportunity for public comment. No comments were received by the department. Pursuant to WAC 197-11355, the Department of Community Development used the optional DNS process for this project. The SEPA comment period previously occurred concurrent with the notice of application dated October 25th, 2022. The Department of Community Development issued a determination of non-significance on November 16th, 2022. The SEPA appeal period expired November 30th, 2022, and no appeals were filed. Therefore, the SEPA determination is final. According to the Kitsap County Assessors, the subject site is 8.96 acres. The address 5582 Northeast Gunderson Road in Paulsbo, Washington is in North Kitsap Commissioner District 1. The aerial photo shows the department, the development consistent with the rural residential zone, single family homes and garage structures. The proposed ADU is consistent with the properties in the vicinity. The site is within the rural residential zone shown in green. The surrounding properties are also zoned rural residential. Zoning setbacks for this parcel are established in Kitsap County Code Chapter 17.420, which is a 50-foot front setback to the south, 20-foot side setback to the west and to the east, and a 20-foot rear setback to the north. The proposal meets all setback requirements. The critical areas map shows a fish-bearing stream and a potential wetlands covering the southern portion of the property. The proposed ADU will be located over 441 feet away from the nearest critical area. The site is developed with a 2,093 square foot home with a 759 square foot attached garage, a 2,496 square foot barn, three greenhouses, a 452 square foot shed, and a 512 square foot shop, gravel driveway, and septic system. Access for the ADU is proposed from Northeast Gunderson Road to a shared driveway. The floor plan for the single family home shows the square footage of the primary home to determine the maximum size allowed for the ADU. The floor plan also allows the department to determine whether other accessory dwelling units or accessory living quarters exist on the property, of which there are none in this instance. The floor plan for the ADU demonstrates the size, 876 feet, which is below the allowed 900 square feet. This is the first floor. The next slide shows the second floor layout. The elevations for the ADU are shown here, and this provides the basis for similar architectural style that the ADU must meet. Photos of the existing primary residence demonstrating elevation and style of home. The proposal is conditioned to follow the requirements of Kitsap County Code Title 17 zoning, specifically all requirements for ADUs in Kitsap County Code 17410060B3. The project will be conditioned for stormwater pursuant to Kitsap County Code Title 12. There are no other accessory dwelling units or accessory living quarters on the property. The owner resides in the primary residence. 50% of the primary residence is 1,046 square feet. The proposed ADU is 876. The ADU is proposed to be 86 feet away from the primary residence. The ADU will have similar appearance of the primary residence. The ADU meets all the required setbacks for the rural residential zone. All health standards for water and sewer have been met and approved. The proposed ADU is not an RV, and the ADU will use the existing driveway off of Northeast Gunderson Road. The department finds the proposal consistent with the comprehensive plan and recommends approval with 27 conditions. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Lundgren. I do have a few questions here. The application complete date is July 26, 2022. In the staff report, the application submittal date is given as May 26, 2022. I know the county had an overhaul of the zoning code, Ordinance 611. Zoning Ordinance 611 went into effect on June 28, 2022. So after the Bodoni application was submitted, but before it was deemed complete, we have Ordinance 611 come in and change the zoning code. Is there anything in ordinance? Well, so first of all, in your understanding, which version of the code applies here? The one that we have today post 611 or the older version of the code?
We used the older version. However, the newer there were no changes to the rural residential zoning regulations in the updated zoning table.
Okay,
so excellent. It wouldn't. The updated code would not affect this project.
Excellent. Okay, that's very good. So I saw in the staff report that this application had a health district approval. I don't see that health district approval as one of the exhibits. Can you tell me how the health district reviewed this CUP?
Yeah, let me pull up the exhibit list because sometimes it's included in the BSA paper documentation, the building site application, septic design and water availability, Exhibit 7.
Okay.
Typically, there is a packet of information.
Oh, yes. And I see the health officer. Yep. I see the health officer's decision right there. Okay. Excellent. All right. My next question is about parking. As I read the provision of number of spaces required, now I am looking at the current version of the code, so maybe this is a change, but I'm looking at 17.490.030. And this is discussed in the staff report, if you have that open. If I have that open. So this is in the staff report. At page 8 of the staff report, there's a table showing how many parking spaces are required and how many are proposed. So as I read the code, it's supposed to be 3 spaces for the SFR and then 1 additional space for the ADU. So that would give a total of 4 parking spaces on this property. But in the staff report, it looks like there are only 3. There's 2 existing and then 1 proposed for the ADU. So can you walk me through what's going on with parking here for the Bodoni CUP?
Well, I'd have to look at the code for that, but which I can do in just a second. But either way, whether it's 3 or 4, they have plenty of room for parking. Hold on, let me pull that portion of the 17.
It was a 17.490.030. But again, that what I'm doing is what's online with the current version of the code. So maybe that is.
Yeah, that wouldn't have changed. So it would still be the same. So according to the table, it is three, and I can update that in my staff report to reflect that and amend that for you.
Okay. I don't think I need the staff report updated. I guess my only concern would be if I were to approve this CUP as is, we would end up with a house plus ADU and three parking spaces when we're supposed to end up with a house plus ADU and four parking spaces.
Well, so yes, you are correct. However, the conditional use permit review process is that it's providing one additional space for the ADU, which it's demonstrated on the site plan that they are providing that. Mm-hmm. And there is plenty of parking for the SFR for the other parking spaces. So however you need me to amend what I've presented, I can do that. But I'm confident that they have plenty of parking.
When you say plenty of parking, you mean off-street parking on their property? They have plenty of parking?
Yeah, if you look at the site plan, I mean, they have quite a long driveway.
Call that up real quick.
I don't know. Here. Yeah.
I'm not trying to make a mountain out of a molehill.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the question.
Jumped out at me.
Yeah.
So let's take a look. So I am looking at exhibit 10, the site plan.
So I don't know if you can zoom in, Amanda, but if you look to the left or to the west of the proposed ADU, there are two spots right in front of the ADU. And then there's like a little cutout right to the north right there for the turnaround of the vehicles.
Yes, I see that.
And yes, then if you go down, I don't have a pointer. So the existing SFR, Amanda, the arrow, and then go to the left, right up a little bit. So that box right there, off the driveway, it does say existing parking. So that's the existing parking for the SFR. And then the proposed parking is actually proposing two extra spots for the ADU up at the north.
Okay, I've got it. Yeah, I see the two cars at the ADU parked next to each other. And, you know, in extremis, they could stick another car in the turnaround, as you say. All right, I think I am satisfied on parking. And again, the purpose here is not to trip anyone up, but just to make sure that all of the amenities required are being provided. You mentioned during your testimony that the stream is 441 feet away from development. Is there any type of critical area whose buffer and setback could conceivably extend that far?
No.
All right.
It's too far.
Right.
Yeah.
Lastly, are there any comments that came in last minute after the preparation of the PowerPoint?
No, we have not received any additional comments.
Okay, I will. If you can send me that PowerPoint as Exhibit 16, I will go ahead and admit that into the record. We have one other placeholder exhibit, which is, it looks like going to be the sign-in sheet for folks who showed up today. So whenever that gets signed, if you can send me that as well, I'll also admit that. All right, thank you so much, Ms. Lundgren. Do we have an applicant on the Bodoni CUP present today?
We do.
All right, let's go ahead and have that person or representative come forward.
Okay.
All right. I can just see your face. I'm tall, too. I always have these same problems at public hearings. I have to hunch way over to be on the microphone. Sir, will you go ahead and raise your right hand, please? Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you give here today will be the truth?
I do.
Thank you. Can you state and spell your name for the record?
Devin Bodoni, DevinBodoni.
Thank you, Mr. Bodoni. And I take it you were present for Ms. Lundgren's testimony?
Yes.
Do you have anything that you want to clarify, correct, add?
Nothing to clarify or correct. I'll just add that we are intending for this to be our primary residence. We own the property in conjunction with another couple who lives in the primary residence on the property. So it seems there's a concern that it's additional development for no reason, but it's going to be our primary residence for my wife and daughter and myself.
All right, very good. And do you agree with Ms. Lundgren, that there's plenty of room for parking?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So in the staff report, there are 28 recommended conditions of approval. Have you had a chance to review that staff report?
I have skimmed it, but I have not reviewed it in detail.
Did you happen to notice the proposed conditions of approval?
Yes, but I could not recite them.
Well, I'm not going to ask you to. What I was going to ask is if you have any objections to any of them.
No.
Okay. And let me see. I don't think I have any other questions for you, sir. Do you have anyone else from your team who's planning to come up and testify?
No.
All right. Thank you. Are there any members of the public who would like to come up and testify on the Bodoni CUP? Anyone in the electronic waiting room or present in person?
I've got no one in the room here, and I don't see any hands raised in.
All right. I don't have any follow-up questions for Ms. Lundgren. Thank you, Ms. Lundgren. Thank you, Mr. Bodoni. Very good testimony, very helpful, and excellent staff report, Ms.
Lundgren. Thank you. Mr. Hearing Examiner, I have one follow-up question for you. I just want to clarify whether or not you need me to address or amend the parking, the number of required parking spaces.
There's no need. You've done it in your testimony, which is also part of the record. So I don't even think there's a conflict between the staff report and your testimony. Your testimony just, you know, clarified the staff report. So I'll make it clear in my decision which one I'm relying on. But I thought both were excellent. So thank you so much. It's clear you've put a lot of work into this project.
Okay.
And I don't have any other issues on that one.
Thank you.
Ms. Walston, what is our next application today?
So next up will be the Thomas ADU.
Okay.
And that's me again.
Ms. Lundgren, you're already sworn in, so I won't make you go through the ritual, but I will just note for the separate record of this case that you have already been sworn in. And why don't we go ahead and get started? Oh, and because it is the record, the Thomas CUP, this is application 22-01947.
46.
Oh, all right. Sorry about that.
Nope. All right. So again, I will be presenting a conditional use permit for an accessory dwelling unit in a rural residential zone. The applicant proposes to construct a 500 square foot detached accessory dwelling unit. The property currently has a 1,645 square foot primary residence occupied by the owner and a 1,120 square foot detached garage. The application was deemed complete on July 22, 2022. A notice of application was distributed pursuant to Title 21 Land Use and Development Procedures, which provided recipients with project information and an opportunity for public comment. No public comments were received by the department. Pursuant to WAC 197-11355, the Department of Community Development used optional DNS process for this project. The SEPA comment period previously occurred concurrent with the notice of application dated August 1st, 2022. The Department of Community Development issued a determination of non-significance on December 8th, 2022. The SEPA appeal period expired December 22nd, 2022. No appeals were filed. Therefore, the SEPA determination is final. According to the Kitsap County Assessor, the subject site is 1.70 acres. 6085 Southeast Nelson Road, Olalla, is in South Kitsap Commissioner District 2. The aerial photo shows development consistent with the rural residential zone, single-family homes, and with garage structures. The proposed ADU is consistent with the properties within the vicinity. The site is within the rural residential zone shown in green. The surrounding properties are also zoned rural residential. Zoning setbacks for the parcel are established in Kitsap County Code Chapter 17.420 50-foot front setback to the south, 20-foot side setback to the west and east. And my little red box is kind of off scale there, I noticed, but it's there. And a 20-foot rear setback to the north. The proposal meets all required setbacks. The critical area map shows no critical areas are present. The site is developed with a 1,645 square foot home with a 1,120 square foot detached garage, two sheds, a paved driveway, and a septic system. Access for the ADU is proposed from Southeast Nelson Road to a shared driveway. The floor plan for the single family home shows the square footage of the primary home to determine the maximum size allowed for the ADU. The floor plan also allows the department to determine whether other accessory dwelling units or accessory living quarters exist on the property, of which there are none in this instance. The floor plan for the ADU demonstrates the size 5,500 square feet, which is below the allowed 822 square feet. The elevations are shown here for the ADU, which provides a basis for a similar architectural style that the ADU must meet. Here are photos of the existing primary residence to demonstrate existing elevation and style of the home. The proposal is conditioned to follow the requirements of Kitsap County Code Title 17 zoning, specifically all requirements for ADUs in Kitsap County Code 17410060B3. The project will be conditioned for stormwater controls pursuant to Kitsap County Code Title 12. There are no other accessory dwelling units or accessory living quarters on this property. The owner resides in the primary residence. 50% of the primary residence is 822 square feet. The proposed ADU is 500 square feet. The ADU is proposed to be 96 feet away from the primary residence. The ADU will have similar appearance as the primary residence. The ADU meets all the required setbacks for the rural residential zone. All health standards for water and sewer have been met and approved. The proposed ADU is not an RV, and the ADU will use the existing driveway off Southeast Nelson Road. The department finds the proposal consistent with the comprehensive plan and compliant with requirements of the Kitsap County Code. The department recommends approval with 27 conditions. Thank you.
And thank you, Ms. Lundgren. So because it is a standalone record for each of these cases, I'll again ask about the effect of Ordinance 611. Ordinance 611 went into effect about 3 weeks before this application was deemed complete. So are we using today's version of the code, which is post 611, or are we using the old version of the code?
The update in the code would not affect this project, as it's in the rural residential zone, and the zoning update did not affect the requirements in that zone.
Okay, thanks. I'll probably stop asking about that for the other ones, except maybe the one that was in 2021. I'll probably ask you about that one again. I do have the same parking question again. Again, it's page 8 of the Thomas staff report. I'm a little unclear what table 5 is showing. I think the last box is clear, which is that there's two existing spaces for the SFR and then one proposed space for the ADU, leaving us at 3. I'm having a little bit of trouble following the rest of that table. Can you kind of walk me through that?
You can. Yeah, I have it up on mine. Okay, so just I want to make sure I understand your question. So the table 5, the parking table. Mm-hmm. So for the CUP, for the ADU, the first box, the standard would be one additional space for the accessory dwelling unit. We do require one space for that ADU. And then proposed spaces and existing spaces, there are two existing spaces for the SFR, which I understand in our previous conversation on the Bodoni hearing or presentation that I just did, that should be 3 for the existing SFR and 1 for the additional or for the proposed ADU. So the total would be 4. Does that answer? Am I understanding your question correctly?
Yes, that's right. Okay. And then given that we're potentially one parking space short here, what can you tell me about parking options for this project?
Oops. Yeah, let me pull.
And I realize like we're here to determine like whether the ADU complies, and the ADU is only required to have one additional space, and that's being provided. So in that sense, everything's fine. I still am a little bit concerned at the outcome here, which is like we're supposed to wind up with 4 and we're only winding up with 3. You know, we're following
right.
We're following things at this stage, but we still end up in a right. in a funny place.
And I will say for the record that that was my error of not putting the 3 in this. If you want to pull up this site plan for me, the parcel has room for the 3 existing SFRs, for the 3 existing parking spaces for the SFR, and 1 additional for the proposed. So it's not a matter of whether there's enough room or there's current space for the parking for the SFR. It's just an error on my part of disclosing that in the staff report.
Okay.
So Amanda's going to pull up the site plan here. Great. So we can. So if you see that long driveway and then the space and on this site plan, it doesn't show where the existing parking is. But as you can see, there is plenty of space for parking. And if the applicant is present or you perhaps could have them show you on the site plan where they currently park. But I'm confident that there's plenty of parking. I'm going to imagine there's parking. They park right in front of that garage there up at the northeast corner, south of the proposed ADU.
Right. Yeah. I'm not trying to be a stickler for this stuff, but you know, with ADUs, one of the big impacts to the community is it increases the density. Potentially that leads to more on-street parking. So I do want to, you know, satisfy myself that there's enough room for this.
Yeah, typically in a rural residential zone, the lots, the lots are quite large. And so there's usually not so much concern about parking, but I understand your question and your concern.
And as before, why don't we go ahead and send me the Thomas PowerPoint and the Thomas hearing sign-in. Once we have those, I will go ahead and admit those as exhibits. I already have them as placeholders on my exhibit list, but I will admit the documents themselves. And finally, everything that I have, all the exhibits and the staff report, it all says that it's permit 22-01947. Your PowerPoint just now did say 46.
Okay. I just
want to make sure, because I have to write up a decision here. Yep. And the last thing I want is to put the wrong number on the decision.
Nope, I apologize. That was an error on the PowerPoint, so I will change it on my end. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you can change that before you send it in. I think that would be fine. Okay, all right. I have no further questions for you on Thomas. Do we have an applicant on Thomas here to testify?
Not in the room, and I'm not seeing anyone in the electronic attendee list raising a hand or anything either. So it does not appear that we have one.
All right. It is my preference that the applicants show up for these things. The burden of persuasion rests with the applicant to show that he or she meets the code. It does not rest with the county. Obviously, Ms. Lundgren has done a great job establishing the ways that this project does comply with the code. But at the end of the day, the responsible party is not Ms. Lundgren. It's the applicant. So I do prefer that they show up. All right. Are there any members of the public who wish to comment on the Thomas application?
Again, I'm not seeing any, either in room or in the electronic room.
All right. Well, Ms. Lundgren, it sounds like we don't have our applicant to walk us through parking. So why don't you, as I understood your testimony, there's enough space on the existing driveways and turnarounds to accommodate 4 parked cars. Is that right?
Correct.
All right. Well, I think we'll just have to go with that then. This is why it's important to have the applicant there, someone who obviously really knows the property and can talk about how parking actually works in practice, but that can't be helped here. All right. Well, I think we are ready to close the record on Thomas, except for those PowerPoint and sign-in sheet documents, and then we'll move on to the next case.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Good morning, sir. Are you here on the Lado matter? Am I tracking everything?
Yes, I am, Mr. Hearing Examiner.
All right. So this will be project number 22-01784. Can we go ahead and pull down the PowerPoint for just a moment so I can get this witness sworn in? All right. Thank you. Sir, will you raise your right hand if you can? And do you swear or affirm that the testimony you give here today will be the truth?
I do.
Thank you. Can you state and spell your name for the record, please?
My name is Joshua Bennett, Joshua Bennett.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Bennett. What is your role here at the county?
I'm an associate planner with the Department of Community Development.
Okay. And I take it you're here to present on the Lado application.
I am.
All right. Take it away, please.
So today I'm presenting the conditional use permit for an accessory dwelling unit in the rural residential area zone. The applicant proposes to construct an 840 square foot detached accessory dwelling unit. The property will have a 1,836 square foot primary residence occupied by the owner applicant. The application was deemed complete on May 12, 2022. A notice of application was distributed pursuant to Title 21 Land Use and Development Procedures, which provide recipients with project information and an opportunity for public comment. No comments were received by the department. Pursuant to WAC 197-11-355, the Department of Community Development used an optional DNS process for this project. The SEPA comment period occurred concurrently with the notice of application. The Department of Community Development issued a determinant of non-significance on December 5th, 2022. The SEPA appeal period expired with no appeals filed. Therefore, the SEPA determination is final. According to the Kitsap County Assessors, the subject site is 2.75 acres located at 9685 Orchard Avenue Southeast in Olalla, Washington, and is in Commissioner District 2. This aerial photo shows the development consistent with the rural residential zone, single-family homes, and garage structures. The proposed ADU is consistent with the properties in the vicinity. The site is within the rural residential zone shown in green. The east, south, and west properties are also all in the rural residential zone. The zoning setbacks for this parcel are established in Kitsap County Code 17.420. And the front setback, which is to the west, is a 50-foot setback. The sides and rear are both 20-foot setbacks. And the proposal meets all the setbacks requirements. The critical area map shows landslide hazard, moderate erosion hazard, and fishbearing stream mapped on the eastern portion of the site. The proposed ADU is about 364 feet from this critical area. The site will be developed with a 1,836-foot square foot home with a 1,216-foot attached garage, a paved driveway, and a septic system. Access for the ADU is proposed from Orchard Avenue Southeast to a shared driveway. The floor plan for the single family home shows a square footage for the primary residence to determine the maximum size allowed for the ADU. The floor plan also allows the department to determine whether other accessory dwelling units or accessory living quarters are on the property, of which there are none in this instance. This is the floor plan for the 1,216-foot attached garage, and it shows there are no other accessory dwelling units or living quarters on the property. The floor plan for the ADU demonstrates the size, 840 square feet, which is below the allowed 900 square feet. And the elevation drawing shows that the ADU provides basic similar architectural style, and the ADU meets this. The proposal is conditioned to the following requirements for Kitsap County Code Title 17 zoning, specifically all the requirements for ADUs in Kitsap County Code 17.410.060B3. The project will be conditioned for stormwater controls pursuant to Kitsap County Code Title 12. There are no other accessory dwelling units or living quarters on the property. The owner will reside in the primary residence. 50% of the primary residence is 918 square feet, and the proposed ADU is only 840 square feet. The ADU is proposed to be within 150 feet of the home. It's about 10, 11 feet from the proposed home. The ADU will have similar appearances to the primary residence. The ADU meets all the required setbacks for the rural residential zone. All health standards for water, sewer have been met. The proposed ADU is not an RV, and the ADU will use the same existing driveway off Orchard Avenue Southeast. The department finds the proposal consistent with the comprehensive plan, compliant with all the requirements for Kitsap County codes and other applicable regulations, and compatible with the characteristics of the subject property and in the immediate vicinity, and not materially detrimental. The department recommends approval with 27 conditions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bennett. Sorry for the delay there. I was just trying to unmute my microphone. So I do have some questions for you. The first will be about parking again. It's table 5 of the staff report, which is staff report page 8. It seems to show that there are 3 existing spaces for the SFR and then 1 for the ADU. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And then on page 7 of the staff report, in response to question H, having to do with setback requirements, says the parcel does not meet the minimum lot size for rural residential zone. However, it does not meet the historic lot requirements. Is that a typo? Did you mean to say that it does meet the historic lot requirements?
No, it's a typo. It's larger, so the historical setbacks do not come into play. That comment shouldn't be in there. I can update that. It meets all the setbacks and it's over the size, so the regular setbacks apply for this parcel.
So we're not doing anything with historic lots at all?
No.
Okay, excellent. There's no need to delete that from the staff report because your testimony is also part of the record. So I can just take your testimony when I'm doing the decision. So Exhibit 11 is a memo dated August 26, 2022. We can call that up on the screen if you don't have it in front of you. In this memo, the department recommends 6 conditions of approval. Not all 6 of those made it into the staff report's recommended conditions. Of the 6 August conditions, numbers 1, 4, and 6 did make it into the staff report. 2, 3, and 5 did not. So yeah, thank you for calling that up, Ms. Walston. Let's take a look at these Exhibit 11 conditions and just figure it out. So there's number 1, right? Condition number 1 did make it into the staff report's recommended conditions, but the next numbers 2 and 3 did not. So I just want to see what's going on with this. You know, what is Exhibit 11 and why was it generated? And then what are we going to do with these proposed conditions?
Yeah, so that's the stormwater comments, and the permit will be conditioned with all of those conditions. I thought they had been added to the staff report, but they should be added to the report, and they are in the permit, and the permit is conditioned with these stormwater conditions.
When you say the permit, which permit are you referring to?
Oh, 22-01784.
So you're saying the CUP permit should be conditioned to include all 6 of these, is that right?
That's correct.
All right. I think just to make sure that my decision reflects it, I'll have to think about how I want to address that, if I want to type these in verbatim or if I just want to kind of incorporate them by reference. I realize each of these cases is a standalone case. I did happen to note that in one of the other cases, it did include the stormwater conditions verbatim. So maybe I'll do that here as well, just so my decisions look consistent. All right, well, I just wanted to make sure that there was no reason those August conditions were left out on purpose, that it was a deliberate choice.
No.
Okay, let's see. During your testimony, you said that the construction is 364 feet from the nearest critical area. Is there any type of buffer or type of critical area that could conceivably affect the project?
No.
Okay. All right. Mr. Bennett, I don't think I have any more questions for you on the Lido CUP. Do we have any applicant coming in to testify for Lido?
We the applicants are come forward. Hello.
Hello. it is a little bit weird when you're in the room and I'm just a face on the screen, huh? Will you go ahead and raise your right hand, please? Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you give here today will be the truth?
I do.
Thank you. Can you state and spell your name for the record, please?
My name is Emma Ladeau, E-M-M-A-L-A-D-E-A-U-X.
Thank you, Ms. Ladeau. And I think you were here for Mr. Bennett's testimony just now, were you not?
Yes.
All right. Do you have anything that you want to add or correct or clarify with regards to anything that he said?
No clarification, but I would just add that we bought this property. There's nothing on it right now. So there is no existing single family residence. We did originally apply for a permit as a single family residence with additional living quarters. So we've kind of been through the hoops because that apparently didn't follow the intent of the code. So we now are in this position where we have to get the CUP to have the additional part, which is actually attached to the, so it's a single family residence with an attached garage with an attached ADU. So my husband and myself will be living in the main house when it's built, and my mother and father-in-law are living in the ADU. Unfortunately, this process has taken so long that my father-in-law did pass away in July, so we are pretty emotional about the whole thing right now. so we just want to get it done.
Yeah, so I certainly understand that, and that is my intent as well. I do appreciate the clarification on how all of the different parts fit together. I realize it can be a long and frustrating process, and I'm sorry to hear about your father-in-law as well.
Thank you. I hope
you guys are doing all right. I don't have any questions for you on the physical layout of the project. Did you have a chance to review the proposed conditions in the staff report?
Yes, I did.
Do you have any objection to any of those conditions?
No.
If I were to add these other conditions from the stormwater memo, Exhibit 11 that I was discussing with Mr. Bennett, did you have any concerns about any of those conditions?
No.
All right. Well, thank you, Ms. Ladeau. I don't think I have anything else for you. Is there anyone else from your family or team that's been working on this who wishes to testify today?
No, thank you.
All right, thank you so much. And Mr. Bennett, I have no follow-up questions for you either. So let's go ahead and get me a copy of Mr. Bennett's PowerPoint plus the sign-in sheet. Once I have those, I will admit those as exhibits. And once I've done that, we will close the record on Ladeau.
Thank you.
All right. And we should have one more today, Ms. Walston, who is left.
We do. Mr. Gurney's on his way up from Bogue.
Good morning. So this will be our final CUP. This will be the Bogue CUP number 21-03285. Sir, will you go ahead and raise your right hand, please? Do you swear that the test or affirm that the testimony you give here today will be the truth?
I do.
Thank you. Can you state and spell your name for the record?
Darren Gurney, D-A-R-R-E-N, Gurney, G-U-R-N-E-E.
Right. And what is your role at the county, sir?
I am a planner that reviews environmental and planning components of permit submittals and the lead for this project.
Thank you. And do you have a presentation for us today?
I do. I believe Ms. Walston is pulling that up right now.
All right.
Apologies. I had to get our clicker. Okay. Thank you, Amanda. It's good to meet you as well. I know this is the first time I've seen you as the hearing examiner here today. So This is the permit for an accessory dwelling unit for Bogue under 2103285. Fairly straightforward presentation today, as with the others. This presentation is meant to augment and support the staff report. So the applicants are Larry and Cindy Bogue. Application was received as complete on the 28th of June in 2021. Notice of application sent out on July 2nd of 2021. And SEPA DNS determination of non-significance occurred on July 21st of 2021. So this is a little bit of an older permit. We're happy to take this through the process. We did have one code change since the submittal of the permit, which is Ordinance 611-2022 that was effective on June 28th, 2022, but it does not change the parameters of the code as it applies to this project. So the presentation today will provide context, review criteria, and recommendation from the department. And the applicant does propose a 2,289 square foot home, single family residence with an 884 square foot accessory dwelling unit. And it's on a vacant lot at this time. According to the Kitsap County Assessor, the parcels, there are actually two parcels, which you'll see in subsequent slides, that add up to a total of over 5 acres. And the eastern half of the property is encumbered by wetlands that are supported through a wetland delineation report. Those are in the exhibits for the staff report as well. Notice of application was distributed pursuant to Title 21. No comments were received as a result of that notice of application or the SEPA determination of non-significance. So moving forward here, general location within the county, Northern District, Commissioner District 1, just west of Kingston, north of Indianola area, and south of Port Gamble. This slide is showing your zoning designations and context. As you can see, the parcel itself is zoned rural residential, surrounded by rural residential. However, we have one parcel to the north, rural wooded, that is of note. The original submittal did not account for the 100-foot setback from that zone that is associated with I'm going to do my code citation here, Kitsap County Code, section 17420060A29, which states that development adjacent to the rural wooded zone requires a 100-foot setback for all structures. This project does comply with those zoning setback requirements. It also has, for those zoning setbacks, you have a 50-foot front setback, which is established by the access to the parcel. In this case, that is from Port Gamble Road. The small sliver going from the road to the larger parcel, that is technically a separate parcel where the driveway encompasses the entire parcel. So you do have access from the west, that's your front setback, side and rear to the south, and to the east. Those are 20-foot setback for normal zoning setbacks with a 5-foot for accessory structures. However, you will see that the critical area setback on the rear is a deferral to the environmental instead of the zoning setback because of that wetland existence. Our regional aerial photo to show context next to major roads. Again, this is just a little bit north and west of Indianola, Gunderson Road going up with Port Gamble Road to the north on Highway 3.
And Mr. Gurney, can I pose you there? What is that large parcel just to the north of it? It looks like a huge clear cut. Is that a commercial forestry operation, or what is that land use there?
That is a forestry operation that did go through a forest practice permit to do timber harvest in the past.
Okay, thanks. Please continue. Yes. Sorry about that.
No problem. So our detailed aerial photo, this is meant to show consistency with development in adjacent parcels. As you just referenced, the parcel immediately to the north that was used as a timber harvest parcel. However, the rural residential parcels in the surrounding areas, they do have single family residences, accessory structures, consistent with the proposal that we have today. This is our critical areas map. This is showing that our critical areas map does not identify the wetland that is on the eastern portion of the site. However, as mentioned, the applicant was requested to provide a wetland delineation performed by a licensed biologist. And that wetland, you'll see on the site plan, has a 110-foot vegetative buffer and 15-foot building setback. The vegetative buffer is meant to house native vegetation. The 15-foot building setback can have certain uses in it. However, that is a setback that is meant to maintain that area of 15 feet for root structures of trees and things of that nature in the vegetative buffer. So this is our site plan. This is demonstrating the stormwater features, well location, septic location, that critical area with the buffer and 15-foot building setback. This also establishes our driveway location, again, reinforcing that front setback on the west side.
So, Mr. Gurney, this is an excellent site plan. I realize I'll have a copy of it once you send me your PowerPoint. I didn't see such a good site plan in the exhibits themselves. I was able to kind of piece together where the wetland was based on the stormwater report, but I never saw a really good site plan like what you have here that showed the wetland.
My apologies. I believe that was intended to be as part of the exhibits.
Well, actually,
I believe it's.
So I've got it right. So it's exhibit 13 and then page 38 of that exhibit. I think I see where you pulled this.
Yeah.
From. Okay. Fantastic.
Not a problem. So the that site plan also does show the parking locations for the ADU as well as a single family residence. I would like to note that in our review of single family permits, we do allow driveways to count towards parking requirements in our standard review of building permits for single family residences. So with the allocated parking in the site plan, as well as the driveway, there is more than enough for this project.
And by that, we mean four spaces total?
Yes.
Okay.
So you have designated spaces in front of each of those building locations, plus you have the turnaround as well.
Okay.
Okay. So this slide is just showing, as was referenced before in previous presentations, this is special use criteria in Kitsap County Code 17410060B3. And these are the standards that an accessory dwelling unit must meet. We are within that 50% threshold, less than 900 square feet. The ADU is within the 150 feet from the primary residence. It does show same appearance, architectural vernacular, meets all the setback requirements, health standards as well. And each of these items it does meet in terms of criteria. Very brief on our land use goals and policies. These are also in the staff report. These essentially are saying that we support growth in rural areas. We encourage it in urban growth areas, but we still support growth in rural areas. And we also support it in a means of affordable housing through human services and housing goals and policies. This is the plan for the main residence. This is establishing that there are no other accessory dwelling units on the property. It also establishes our primary habitable space to determine the size of the ADU. Our ADU site, our ADU construction plans, this is demonstrating that you have a habitable space that is 50% or less than 900 square feet, whichever is smaller. And I just noticed when I put the slides together that the text on this is backwards. So it looks like a mirror image was used as the site plan. Here we're showing the elevations that showed that demonstrate consistency between the architectural styles. You'll note between this slide and the next, the siding, window treatments, gable roof, the garage design features, each of these are contributing to a consistency that we expect. And this is the ADU. So finally, we do find that we are recommending the proposal, that it is consistent with the comprehensive plan and compliant with code. It is compatible with other characteristics of property in the immediate vicinity. It is not materially detrimental, and it does allow the applicant to use the property within the means of the code. And just to note, the applicant is here today, which is always a positive for us. And I know you would like the applicants to speak. I know that there's always a hesitation, but should you so choose, you can invite them to come up.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Gurney. Yes, and I note that it's in the local hearing examiner rules that the applicant is supposed to be available to answer questions if needed. But most of my questions, staff has been more than capable of answering. And obviously, I'm not going to torment an applicant with questions about, you know, which version of the code applies and things of that nature.
Yeah.
I will torment you with those questions, Mr. Gurney. I assume you're doing this under the old pre-611 code, I think you said?
That is correct.
Yes. Okay. But even if we were doing it under today's code, nothing would change?
Correct.
All right.
There's one piece that would have changed. If the square footage calculations, there's an exterior, using exterior versus interior for the calculation of habitable square footage, that little piece, if it was really close, that would have made a difference. But in this case, it does not make a difference.
Okay, thank you. That's very clear. And maybe just from my, well, we don't have to do this on the record for this case. I was thinking I would like to kind of get a short summary of the differences between 611 and pre-611, just so I don't have to agonize about this, but it's not fair to this applicant for us to do that right now on their time. So we'll deal with that later if need be.
It was a large update, so that would require some substantial time outside of this.
Exactly. Yeah, we can deal with it offline. All right. So tell me about the health district review of this project. In the staff report, it says that health district has approved, but when I look at existing at exhibit 9, it looks like an application for health district approval. I don't see the response from the health district.
Oh, that is a good question. I may actually have to come back to you on that one. Within our system, we have our permit review steps, and it's identified as approved in that permit review step. If we do not have that official approval, I will make sure that we can include that as an exhibit following this meeting.
All right. Ms. Lundgren educated me when she testified on one of the other applications that sometimes the health district approval is actually tucked away in a different document, the building site application.
That would likely be the document that you're looking at.
Yeah, so I think I am looking at that. That is in fact exhibit 9. Yeah, I don't see the health district signing off on it. So there's a couple ways that we can handle that. If you're confident that the health district has indeed looked at this and signed off on it, I can just take your testimony for it. If that's something that you have documentation and conveniently can send it to me, you can send that after the hearing and I'll just make it another exhibit. So what would be your preference, Mr. Gurney?
I would actually prefer to go back and look at it.
I would prefer not know off the top of my head. If that's not too much trouble, I would prefer that as well. All right, so we'll leave the record open for a documentation of the health district approval. Let's see. The wetland on this, looking at the site plan, the development goes right up to the edge of that 15-foot building setback. How did staff come to be aware of the existence of this wetland?
Typically, when we are asking for wetlands, we look at the critical areas maps, which you saw. We also look at historic aerial imagery in a winter setting as well as summer. Usually deciduous vegetation with darker soils underneath indicate presence of hydric soils. So in the review process, we likely would have asked for that wetland report or delineation that confirms or denies the presence. If it's there, then we request the delineation with the setbacks and the buffers identified on a site map.
And here, though, the critical areas map does not show a wetland, as you testified, yes. And we have that map in the record as well. Do you know how this wetland was originally detected?
So the aerial photos that we review, we look at that vegetation, and even if it's not shown on the critical areas map, we use those aerial photos with topography to request the wetland delineation. The biologist goes out and does a site visit to field verify. Sometimes they can do it through indicator species of plants. Sometimes they actually have to go and do soil tests if there's no indicator species, but it still looks and feels like a hydric soil location. So we rely on that biologist to perform that work. We are the ones that request that work be done by the biologist.
When you say the biologist, you mean the author of the single family wetland certification?
Yes.
Okay. And do you have any questions or doubts about the wetland certification that the county received?
We do not.
We feel confident in the
certification provided.
Confident meaning that the wetland is accurate. Where it's supposed to be and the buffer is the correct size and all of that stuff?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I don't have any further questions for you. I do have one or two questions for the applicant. So if he or she would not mind too much, I would like to call that person up.
Okay.
Hi.
Good morning. Oh, and the camera is tilting down. Very good. Would you raise your right hand, please? Do you swear or affirm that your testimony today will be the truth?
Yes.
Thank you. Can you state and spell your name for the record, please?
Cindy Bogue, CindyBogue.
Thank you, Ms. Bogue. I take it you were present for Mr. Gurney's testimony just now?
Yes.
Do you have anything that, did you hear anything that he said that you want to clarify or change or add to?
I guess just clarifying that both the single family residence that is we're proposing as well as the ADU will both be property owner occupied. My husband and myself will be in the ADU where our daughter, son-in-law, and family will be residing in the single family residence.
Very good.
So we're just preparing for our older age care.
Okay. Congratulations. That sounds like a lovely setup for everybody.
Thank you.
Did you have a chance to review the staff report?
Yes. I didn't read everything thoroughly, but I did browse it.
Okay. At the end of the staff report, staff recommends a bunch of conditions of approval. I think in this case, we've got 29 recommended conditions of approval. Did you have any objections or concerns about any of those recommended conditions of approval?
No.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. I think that's all I've got for you today. And okay. Mr. Gurney, I don't have any follow-up questions. So the things I still need on the Bogue CUP are the health district approval, a copy of Mr. Gurney's PowerPoint, and then the sign-in sheet for any witnesses. Are there any members of the public who wish to testify on the Gurney CUP?
I am not seeing any in room or online.
Okay. All right. I think then I'll close the record for today on Gurney, and we'll close it all the way once I have those three additional documents. And I think that is all we have today. Everyone, thank you so much for putting this together. I realize this is everyone's first time seeing me. It is also my first time seeing you. I've been very impressed with the quality of the staff work and the testimony. I hope I didn't throw too many curveballs at folks today, but to the extent that I did, everybody handled them very well. And I feel confident in my understanding of each of these projects. I'll be able to produce a decision for you guys and I'll feed those through staff, and we should be good to go.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, everybody. Have a good day.